Welcome to another episode of Listen, Learn, and Love, hosted by Richard Osler. Our guest on today's podcast is my good friend, John Gustav Rathal. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Dick. I'm glad to be back.
It's December, and it's a warm December day in Utah. And John, you're in Minneapolis. Is it a warm December day there?
Yeah, it's pretty warm here. I didn't need to wear mittens today.
This is the second part of a two-part podcast, so I encourage our listeners to listen to episode 49. That is John beautifully telling his life story as a gay LDS man, finding his way into a same-sex marriage, stepping away from the church, but now stepping back into the church. John is still in his same-sex marriage. John has, you know, no longer has membership in the church, but has a great testimony of the church and the truthfulness of the church, and regularly attends his ward in Minneapolis. And I've loved hearing your story, and I love how you beautifully shared that in episode 49. And you may at times refer back to this, but John, full-time job, is the executive director of Affirmation, a group that I've connected with and have seen its important role in the LDS LGBT community. So we wanted John to just talk about Affirmation and introduce it, the role of that organization, the good it's providing to our listeners. So John, tell us about Affirmation.
Well, Affirmation is the world's oldest and largest support community for LGBT Mormons. It began in 1977. And we have really kind of two focuses. One is to provide an unconditionally loving and supportive community for LGBT Mormons, and basically to provide them a community where they can find support in sort of dealing with and figuring out how to deal with the challenges related to their, you know, their sexual identity or gender identity in their faith. And then the other focus of Affirmation is really to provide, to foster dialogue and understanding within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints community around LGBT issues.
And that's helpful.
And we
go ahead.
And I guess I might add that Affirmation has been growing tremendously in the last 6 years or so. And we now have members in 15 different countries.
And tell our listeners how to find Affirmation. What's your website address and other ways to find Affirmation?
It's really easy. It's affirmation.org.
That's awesome. I know when I'm trying to think, before I became an ally, John, I think I had heard Affirmation, but I had very little understanding of its relationship to our church. I couldn't figure out if it was a group that was supportive of the church or a group that was not supportive. And as I've learned from you and others, there's probably been an evolution there. You know, sometimes it was less supportive of the church and sometimes more supportive of the church. Just talk to our listeners, especially those that are active LDS, wondering, is Affirmation an organization that's supportive of the church or not?
Right. Well, so from our beginning, our role was neither to be supportive nor opposed to the church, but our role was to be supportive of LGBT Mormons. And so this has been a part of our charter from the beginning. We don't take positions on church doctrine. We don't take political positions. Our sole mission really is to provide support to individuals. And individuals you know, can make different choices, and they can choose to stay engaged with the church. They can choose to live their lives in a way that would allow them to keep full membership status in the church. They can choose to leave the church. Our role is not to tell them what they can do or not do. Our role is to basically just provide love and support, regardless of what they choose. Affirmation did, I think, you know, for much of its history, had a pretty, it had a reputation of being, pretty negative toward the church. And that, reputation, may not always have been completely fair. But it was probably true that, you know, certainly when I first engaged with the organization back around 2005, you know, my sense of it was, at that point, the reason I was coming to Affirmation was because I was reactivating in the church, and I was looking for a community to support me in that journey. And I definitely, at that point, kind of got some messages that that was considered strange. It was not something that I felt a lot of support in, and that was just kind of the impression that I got from the organization initially. I talked to the president of the organization at that time, and I said, "I'm going back to the church, and I'd like some support in that." And I think the response was something along the lines of, "Oh, well, you know, that's not really necessary," or, you know, you'll learn that that's not really going to work for you. And I was a little bit disappointed. But around 2011, 2012, there began to be a bit of a shift, and, we had some individuals coming into the organization who were interested in cultivating a more positive relationship with the church. And Randall Thacker was one of those people. And at the time I had a blog and was, you know, kind of using the blog as a way to find support. I had actually been encouraged to start my blog by Ty Mansfield.
Interesting.
Because I went to Ty and we were, you know, we were kind of having a conversation, and Ty in his own way was trying to be supportive of me, he encouraged me to start a blog, because there was actually a blogging community. There were a number of LGBT Mormons who had blogs, and they would share their stories, and then they would comment on each other's blogs. And so it was this kind of online support community that happened with using blogs as a vehicle. And so I'd been writing a blog for some time about my own journey. And Randall Thacker, who was aware of me through the blog, in 2011, I think it was, he invited me to come speak at an Affirmation conference in a devotional at a conference that we held in Kirtland, Ohio. And so, I was kind of surprised. I didn't think Affirmation would be interested in hearing my story, the story of a gay man who is interested in, we have the testimony of the church and is sort of on a journey with that. And but they invited me to come speak, and I did. And that devotional was really, I mean, that conference, that Affirmation conference in Kirtland, Ohio, was quite an amazing experience. And it was a very spiritual, the whole weekend felt profound to a lot of us as we were sort of touring the sites of Kirtland and reflecting on the history of the church and just kind of feeling the spirit of that place, and, you know, going into the temple and, you know, sort of reflecting on the fact that, you know, this is where where Elijah and Moses and Jesus Christ appeared. And so a number of us had some really profound spiritual experiences there, and we had the devotional was really powerful. And for me, what was most powerful about that gathering in Kirtland was the testimony meeting that we had in the Kirtland Temple. And that was just, it was incredibly powerful. And a number of us came away from that feeling like, wow, this happened at an affirmation conference. And I was really excited about it. So after that, Randall asked me to get more involved in affirmation, and I did, and I helped to organize the Seattle conference the following year. And then that year, Randall was elected president of Affirmation and asked me to be the senior vice president. And we opened up a conversation with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Public Affairs Department. And that dialogue became a very positive and a very fruitful dialogue. We began to, you know, sort of talk about things that were going on in the LGBT community that we were observing and that we felt the church needed to know. And we got some insight, I think, from those conversations about how things work in the church so it was very positive. It was a very helpful thing that began, and we've continued that to the present. And we we really again wanted to, you know, what we really wanted to do is we wanted to just provide space. So there was, you know, even though some of us were on a journey with the church and now there was a sense that there was a place for us in affirmation and that we were welcome and that there were others within affirmation who would be kind of a support community. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the mission of affirmation to encourage those journeys, but it was the mission of affirmation to support individuals who were on those journeys. And so one of the things that I realized is I thought, well, what I want to do is create a kind of support community within affirmation that can do that, support individuals in that situation. And so I began something called the Prepare Group. And so that was like a smaller group within affirmation to support individuals who were believing Mormons, who had testimonies, who were active in the church. And that included people in a variety of situations. It included people like myself who am in a same-sex marriage and who am attending church and am living the gospel to the best of my ability and you know, basically just learning faith through patience. you know, basically just seeking the Spirit and looking for opportunities to grow and learn as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then there are others in the Prepare group who are in mixed orientation marriages and who have temple recommends and are active in the church, and there are individuals in the group who are single and celibate and who also are active in the church and have full standing. And so there are people in a variety of statuses, but our commitment was that there was not going to be any kind of judgment of, you know, where people were. If you had a desire to explore faith as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, then you were welcome in the group, and we didn't care what your status was in the church. So long as that was, you know, that was your desire. around that same time, Affirmation created a group called the Journeys Group, that was more focused for individuals who were exploring paths and spirituality outside of the church. And again, to have such a group is consistent with Affirmation's mission. If individuals have decided to leave the church or, you know, are interested in exploring other spiritualities, but they need support of a community who understand what it is to be Mormon and LGBT, then the Journeys group is for them. And then we have other, you know, groups that are sort of, we have the Living Waters group, which is, you know, it includes straight allies, it includes LGBT people, and there's less discussion about church, although, I mean, there is discussion about church and spirituality in that group. There's no explicit focus around, you know, the purpose of that group being to support individuals who are interested in church activity, and but it is, you know, it's basically just kind of an open, loving forum where people can talk about faith if they want to, or they can talk about other things. So then we have another group that's it's called Community Conversations, and it's a place where people can have dialogue. And so if you have people who left the church and people who are in the church, and if they want to explore questions with each other in a respectful manner, they can do that. So those are some of the online groups. Affirmation has always had local chapters that provide face-to-face community. And you know, individuals within these chapters can organize any activities that they want that will meet their needs. And a very common activity for Affirmation groups to organize are LGBT family home evenings. Sometimes there will be, you know, sort of fireside type things where speakers are invited to come and speak on a variety of topics. Speakers who are both in and out of the church. And then they can organize social activities like a bowling night or a movie night. And, you know, here in Minneapolis a while ago, for example, we had a movie night, and we watched the Believer documentary together. And then after we had watched it, you know, we were able to have a discussion about it. And it was a really interesting discussion because, again, the group was diverse. And so we had people who were in the church and active in the church, and people who were not, and people just kind of explored the documentary from their personal perspective and what they thought about it. And we had a really interesting discussion about that. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that we do. People come to us very often in a state of crisis. They often, when people turn to Affirmation, they're often at the sort of early stages of their coming out process. And they're far enough along in their coming out process that they have sort of acknowledged to themselves, at least, that they're gay or lesbian or bi or transgender. And they are experiencing some tension around this, and maybe even some anxiety or some fear. I've talked to people who have literally said, "I'm afraid." Sometimes they've said, "I'm terrified." They worry about how to come out to family. They worry about how to come out in the church. They worry about the impact of coming out. They worry about the impact of making some of the different kinds of choices that are before them. You know, should I try to live my life as a celibate person? Should I be open to a relationship with somebody of the same sex? Should I transition if they're a trans person? They come to us because they want to talk to and learn from other people who've been in a similar situation, who are in a similar situation. And basically, when people, I frequently see emails that come to Affirmation where people say, "What should I do?" And the correct answer to that question from the point of view of Affirmation is, I can't tell you what to do. What I can tell you is that there's a way forward for you, that where you can find happiness, where you can find peace. And the only person who can really find out how to get to that place is you. And what we can offer you is not answers to your questions, but a community where you can trust that wherever you are in that journey and whatever you ultimately decide to do, we will love you, we'll support you, and we'll be with you in that journey. And hopefully, you can learn from us. You can ask questions and you can find out what other people have done and how they've navigated these challenging situations. And we will certainly learn from you. If you're willing to share your story with us, we'll learn new things from you. And so that's what we tell people when they come to Affirmation. And that's the kind of community we aspire to be. We deal with people who are often in crisis. I had an experience last June where we had an LGBT Mormon family home evening. And it was a really great evening. And I think there was some scriptural discussion. I think we were talking about something in Isaiah, and we were kind of talking about, the faith journeys of LGBT Mormons. And there was somebody who showed up very late to the meeting, and nobody knew who she was. And she kind of showed up just as the meeting was ending. And she kind of snuck into the room, and she sort of, there was a circle of people, and she kind of sat down outside of the circle, sort of off to herself. And we could tell that she was, just looking at you, you could see the tension in her body, just the way she was holding herself, the expression on her face. And we invited her to come into the circle. And she reluctantly accepted. And we invited her to tell us a little bit about herself. And she began to talk about experiences that she was having in her ward, where she had come out as trans, and her church leader's response to her had been very alienating and had been extremely painful to her. And we could see just in the way that she was sharing this story that she was in intense pain about this situation. And we recognized that this individual needs, we can't allow her to just kind of slip away from this meeting without making some kind of a connection. And so after the meeting, the formal part of the meeting was over and there was some refreshments and just some socializing, I and another individual who were there went and we sat down with her and we just kind of spent some time getting to know her better and learning more about her situation. And what was helpful to me was to see how her body language changed, how the tone of her voice changed, and you could kind of see her just relaxing and starting to breathe again. And then one of the members of Affirmation who was there with me said, let's make sure she gets connected to another trans individual. And so we got on the phone. I before I left, I said, can I have your number and your name? And is it okay with you if we stay in touch? And she said, yes. And then, after the meeting, I got on the phone and I called, somebody that I knew would be able to be really supportive of her. And then, I was able to connect the two of them and they made a beautiful connection. And I asked about it later and, you know, they had met for brunch and they had talked with each other and shared stories. And the individual that I connected to her to was, you know, just loved this connection that she had made. It was something that was very positive for both of them. And that, you know, that's the truth of so many of the connections that I've experienced in affirmation, is that when I connect with another individual who's in that place of deep pain or doubt or fear, and we start to share stories and you can kind of see the fear begin to lift as people recognize, oh, somebody else has been through this and they're okay. And not only are they okay, they're like, they're happy and there are good things happening in their life. And then you can kind of see the lights start to go on and it's like, oh, maybe there's possibility for me too. Maybe I can find, happiness and, you know, I tell people, you get to decide, what decisions you make in terms of your faith. And what I want to say to people is, it's not inevitable that you, as an LGBT person, have to give up your faith. You can choose that. Like if it's not working for you and you're just finding it too painful, that you can do that, right? That's your choice. And that's okay. Like, that's okay. And we support you and we love you and you get to decide, right? And so if that relationship isn't working for you, that's okay. But it's not inevitable that it won't work for you. And you can learn from others who just taken different paths and find out, you know, and ultimately you get to decide, right? Like that's Heavenly Father's plan, right? Like ultimately we get to decide, like we have agency and we, you know, we have the right to sort of seek light and knowledge and then think about things and make our own decisions. And then, so that's what we're about. That's kind of a long answer to your question, Dick.
That's a really helpful answer.
I wanted to kind of give you the whole story.
So if I were to summarize that, and it's consistent what I found when I connected with Affirmation, is a group that is, I call it non-agenda based, that each LGBTQ person can find their own way without, and there's no hidden agenda or overt agenda from Affirmation to push people in one direction or another. And I think that's really important. I've certainly felt that firsthand. Is that I haven't felt an agenda, I would guess. And I've also felt, going back to the, and I think that's a needed space. I think as I've seen LGBT people connect with Affirmation, and like you say, people are in crisis, they need community of people that are walking the same road. I think of 10 years ago, I would have said, well, I'm nervous about an LGBTQ person connecting with another LGBTQ person because that may draw them down whatever path that person is. But I think I've matured to the point where everybody needs community to walk the road they're walking and have other people that have walked this road help them make thoughtful decisions. And so yeah. It makes sense to me in the crisis, the transgender situation you described certainly resonates to me firsthand, as I've seen people do much better, make much better decisions and be emotionally healthy and stable as they're finding people that are just like all humans need people that are in their same space. Now, I remember
that's
a call.
That's exactly right.
And I think that's, I love that. And as I interact with affirmation, I do see people that have stepped away from the church, but I see people that are very committed to the church. And I think you've done a good job of creating space there. I've also, going back to affirmation's relationship with the church, is there any formal relationship where you're communicating on an ongoing basis, or is it kind of informal? It sounds like church PR is where, which would be make sense of any group that's reaching out to the church or churches reaching out to, would come through church PR. But just help our listeners know,
right?
You know, is there any just anything you can share in that space that sort of you're free to talk about?
Sure. Well, so that's absolutely right. So there's no formal relationship between affirmation and the church. We are not sponsored by the church in any way. And as I said earlier, we don't take any kind of a position as an organization in relation to the church. We don't take a position for or against any doctrine of the church. And it's for that reason that, you know, a while ago, Elder Christofferson was responding to some questions about groups like Affirmation and Mormons Building Bridges and others. And, you know, basically the question was, you know, can a member in good standing be a member of Affirmation? And Elder Christofferson's unequivocal answer was, absolutely, an individual, a member of the church in good standing, can be a member of Affirmation, because we don't oppose the church. We don't take any positions on church doctrine. Some of our members may, and others of our members feel very strong about their belief in the church and their testimony of the church, and it's not our business as an organization to take a position. So there's no formal sponsorship. There's no relationship where Affirmation is trying to promote a church path or anything like that. We did recently, within the past year, we received a $25,000 grant from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Foundation, and that grant was specifically for the purpose of suicide prevention work. And so what I would say is that, and this is true of any organization that is not affiliated with the church, it's possible that we can find areas of collaboration and mutual concern and interest. And so the church has basically said they are concerned about the issue of suicide, and they recognize that the LGBT community is an at-risk community. So the church has recognized this and has recognized that Affirmation can be a valuable partner in helping to address the problem, because they recognize that the LGBT community is an at-risk community, and they recognize that Affirmation is serving that community and is providing, Affirmation is providing community for those individuals. And what we know, one of the things we know about suicide prevention is that community is a strong protective factor against suicide. And so the church recognized that Affirmation actually has an important role to play in addressing this problem, and And so they recognized, they were willing to, basically kind of partner with us in doing this work. So again, like I said, like any organization that provides services and the church and its philanthropic activities will work with other organizations as well. They work with a whole range of organizations that are doing good out there in the world, and that the church sees the good that they're doing as, aligned with the church's own desire to, take care of the poor and the hungry and the needy and those who are, those who have needs, important needs.
And just while we're on suicide, I just want to read a quote from Brené Brown to support what you've said. It's something I've shared in some of my firesides and presentations, and I think you're probably familiar with this quote. It was actually used in an LDS Living article written by Deborah Koh. But Brené Brown has said that not belonging or physiological isolation is the most terrifying and destructive feeling a person can experience. It's not the same as being alone. It's a feeling that one is locked out of the possibility of human connection and of being powerless to change the situation. In the extreme, physiological isolation can lead to a sense of hopelessness and desperation. People will do almost anything to escape the combination of condemned isolation and powerlessness. Embracing, valuing, empathizing helps people feel like they belong. And so when I saw that, John, and then kind of saw what Affirmation's doing, I'm thinking, and your work with suicide prevention, I'm thinking, this is real. And you're giving people hope and a path. And I needed connection to process this difficult road they're on if they're LGBTQ.
Yes. That is a great quote. And that really kind of gets at the heart of what Affirmation is all about. And it's the reason we exist, because, it's just part of our daily experience. Almost daily, we've received, we receive about an email a day, actually, from individuals who are needing support and needing connection in some way. And most of them are, in that situation that I described earlier, where some of them are just literally terrified or just feeling so isolated and so alone. And, there's nothing worse than thinking, if somebody really knew who I am, or if my ward, my family, my bishop, knew who I really am, they would completely reject me. And that is terrifying. It's a really painful place to be. And we see this daily.
Talk about the organization of Affirmation. Help our listeners understand that you have a president, you have a board of directors, and you've been a president, and you have now you as the executive director. And I agree that Randall Thacker, shout out to Randall Thacker from me also for the work he's done as your predecessor, I believe, and you continuing as well as others with this direction you're taking. But just help our listeners understand more about that side of Affirmation.
Sure. So basically, there are chapters of Affirmation. There are sort of local groups that provide face-to-face community. And then there's always been an executive committee of Affirmation, which consisted of an elected president and two vice presidents. And they were responsible for basically sort of making the day-to-day decisions about, how to organize conferences and basically sort of ran the organization at the national level. And up until about roughly 2005 or so, Affirmation was pretty much a U.S. organization. And then around 2005, we had chapters that opened up in Mexico and in Chile. Starting about 2012, 2013, we saw a lot of growth, especially internationally. And we were getting, people contacting us from Brazil, from Argentina, from Colombia, from Peru, from Ecuador, from Dominican Republic. And they were saying, we need something like Affirmation. Can you come help us organize? And so we've had the organization has been growing, and it's growing dramatically in terms of the numbers of people in the United States who are participating as well. And we went from conferences that had about 100 or so people, and now we at our last conference in Salt Lake City, we had 550 people. We've had as many as 700 people at a conference. And we've had pretty large regional conference as well on the West. We had over 100 people who came to our conference in the Bay Area last January. So we've had just growing numbers of people who have been attending the conferences and who've been looking for that kind of support. And we've had an international, the board now sort of oversees an international operation, no longer just national, but international. So the president is elected by the members of Affirmation, and you become a member of Affirmation by, paying a membership fee and supporting the mission of Affirmation. And then the president and the executive committee there's a board that they're supported by. And that they work with, and the board is basically kind of the governing body of Affirmation. And right now we have 12 people on the board, and they sort of make decisions about policy and financial decisions and a whole bunch of other sort of bread and butter stuff related to running an organization.
Your board, I think, is composed of LGBTQ plus allies plus people in the church plus people out of the church, but all that support your mission statement.
That's exactly right. We have allies, we have LGBT folks, we have people who are members of the church in good standing, people who, like myself, who don't necessarily have good standing, but are believing and active, and we have people who no longer affiliate with the church in any way. But the one common thing that we all have is a deep desire to serve and provide unconditionally loving community to LGBT Mormons.
Yeah, and boy, my experience over the last 2 years, and you know this, John, better than I do, is there's a lot of people that are hurting, especially emotionally, and feel locked out or feel shame how they are created. And I see the role of Affirmation to be very, very helpful for people to improve emotionally, to make better decisions. I think there's obviously a spiritual component. I felt a wonderful spirit at Affirmation. And I've always felt those that I meet with one-on-one, whether they're in the church or not, I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe the teachings of Christ that we read in the Book of Mormon and the Bible. And I've always felt impressed to connect everybody with Christ and his words and his ministry and help, because I think it helps everybody make better decisions. It may not solve every problem emotionally. I think good clinical help is needed emotionally and good support groups and some of the things you're providing, but I do.
Right.
I notice you start with prayer. You sing songs. I've been to the testimony meetings. Some of the My highlight spiritual experiences have been at those testimony meetings in your annual conference. The one I can remember most recently was the one in Provo. I know you had one in Salt Lake that I wasn't able to attend, but I just felt a wonderful spirit. I didn't look at people as, I think most of the people that bore their testimony were LGBTQ. I think you encouraged that, but I didn't really look at people if they were in the church or out of the church or where they were.
Right.
I just saw, you know, God's beautiful children coming together to bear testimony of God and Christ. And I saw the community and the connection and the healing that was created. And I sat in one of those meetings on a Sunday, and I love my local congregation. I love going to church, but there was a side of me that wished everybody in church, an active LDS person, could have experienced what I experienced. As I saw people that I had previously marginalized or previously thought weren't worthy of my company, or maybe I didn't think weren't worthy of God's love, I certainly have realized that I'm meeting some of the choicest spirits I've ever met, with some of the very best spirits, loved by God and doing the best they can in their lives. And you're one of those, John. And I know when I connected with you, if we talked in that other podcast, I've just been so impressed with your level of spirituality. And you've been an example to me of your commitment to the church, even though, as you say, you can't fully participate because you're technically not a member, you still participate and you do everything you can in a loving and kind way. And I love how your ward has embraced you in Minneapolis. And I encourage our listeners to once again go back to episode 49. It's a beautiful story. You have fundraising needs, John. And those are, as I've learned more about affirmation, those are legit reasons. It's mostly it's a volunteer organization, pretty much, but you have real expenses. So help our listeners understand why you need to raise money, what that money goes to, and then if our listeners want to donate to Affirmation, how they do that.
Yeah, sure. So basically, there's three main needs, financial needs. So one is that we sponsor conferences all around the world now. Last year, we had 20 conferences in 9 different countries. As often as possible, you know, we charge registration fees to attend these conferences, and that helps to cover some of the cost. But you know, we want the conferences to be available and for people to be able to attend the conferences regardless of their ability to pay. And so we have scholarships for individuals to attend conferences. And in some places where we know there's economic need, like in many of the places in Latin America, you know, Dick, I've been down there. I've been to every single country in Latin America where Affirmation provides support.
That's cool.
And I've seen that, you know, the economic needs there are pretty intense. And so it's very hard to cover the cost of a conference just with the registration fees that people are able to pay or not able to pay, as the case may be. And so funds help to support those conferences and ensure that those conferences will be accessible to all, regardless of ability to pay. The conferences also, or the funding also, is used to enable the leadership of Affirmation to travel to the various places where we are organizing chapters and where we provide support. What we've learned is that leadership development and training is crucial. The leaders in our organization are dealing with traumatized communities, individuals who've gone through serious trauma. And so in order to provide an effective community, we've just, you know, learned some lessons the hard way over the years. And so, you know, we need to train our leaders in emotional intelligence and suicide prevention and how to deal with conflict in a community and how to organize community in a way so that everybody feels heard and everybody feels like they have a voice in the community. And we also just need to teach, like a lot of people who are leaders in affirmation have no experience at all, no previous experience in leading an organization. And so they don't know a lot of basic things about how do you organize a successful event? How do you publicize an event so that, that people know you're there and come to it? And so, so we need to provide support and training to our leaders. And that's really important. And a lot of us, like I have maybe in all of the travel that I've done to conferences in order to work with leaders and to provide leadership development in all of the different countries where I've been, I have only had my travel paid for by affirmation, I think once or twice.
Wow.
That is part of my personal mission, and I offer that as a donation to affirmation, and there are other leaders as well who have done the same. But we have leaders within affirmation who have skills that we know our leaders need, and if those individuals are not able to pay for their own travel, we want to be able to do that. And so that's another piece is basically travel money to provide leadership development and support and membership development. And then the third area is we now have paid staff. I've been working full time as executive director since August of 2016, I believe is that when I started really, or no, it was 2017. Sorry, it was 2017. So it's been a bit over a year now that I've been working as executive director. One of the most important resources that Affirmation can provide is our website and our social media. And you heard me talking earlier about all of these different support groups that we have on social media, our websites, and we have websites in three different languages, in English, Spanish, and Portuguese. And what we know is that most often, 99% of the time in today's world, when an LGBT individual in the church is first starting to deal with these issues, like, what do? They go to Google.
Yeah.
And they tap in gay and Mormon, or trans and Mormon, or lesbian and Mormon, and they go to the internet. And so we have 100,000 people a year who come to our unique visitors who come to our website come to us, looking for resources and support. And so we now, in order to provide the quality of resources and the diversity of resources that we feel is needed, we've hired some online content managers, and we have somebody that we're working with in Argentina who manages our Spanish website. We have we have somebody that we're working with in São Paulo, Brazil, who manages our Portuguese website, and then we have an individual that lives here in the United States who manages our English website. So those are the main needs that we have.
And people can go to affirmation.org to donate.
Affirmation.org, and we're in the midst of a year-end fundraiser, and we need to raise about $50,000 by the end of the year. We're getting close. As of today, I think we've raised about $38,000 out of the $50,000 that we need in donations. So we would be extremely grateful for any kind of support that folks are willing and able to offer us. And you've been a great supporter, Dick, and we're just really grateful for this, both the moral and spiritual as well as the financial support that you've offered us.
You bet. And this podcast may come out near the end of the year, so if you're hearing this towards the end of the year, still donate, where a lot of listeners will listen to this podcast in 2019 and look on that webpage, because sometimes there'll be matching donations throughout the year. And so I encourage you, even if you're listening to this podcast in 2019, to still donate.
Yeah. We will accept donations in 2019.
In closing, tell our listeners about your upcoming conference. And I realize there's conferences all over the world, but I assume your main conference in Provo, Utah next June, I believe. And how people would learn about that and sign up. And I love that you invite parents to come with their children if they're LGBTQ and walk into those doors together. And there's breakout groups for parents. There's breakout groups for youth. That's one of the things I love about the convention. There's big breakout groups for the straight person in a mixed orientation marriage. So there's just areas that everybody walking this road, whether it's an ally or an LGBT person, can find thoughtful discussion.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly right. And so our big annual international conference is going to be in Provo, Utah this year. We're going back to Provo to the Utah Valley Convention Center. And it's going to be June 21st through 23rd. We're trying to encourage everybody to get that in their calendars now. We have entire families that come and attend the conference, and there are sessions for the parents, there's sessions for the youth. It is a fantastic event. Like you said, regardless of where you are, if you're in the church and looking for support, there will be amazing sessions there for you. If you're done with the church and you're looking for support, to deal with family issues, to deal with, how do I make some of these adjustments in my life? We have stuff there for you. And we have, like you said, we have a track actually for church leaders. If they want to come and just kind of hear stories of LGBT Mormons and kind of learn about, learn about some of the issues that can come up in ministering to individuals in that situation, and also just kind of have a better understanding of what the church's policies and practices are and aren't. Those sessions are really useful. That's a great experience. June 21st through 23rd. And yes, you can go to our website, affirmation.org, to learn more about it. We are also going to have three other sort of regional conferences in the United States in the coming year. We're going to be gathering in New York City. We're going to have a gathering in Nauvoo, Illinois, which
That's
I'm really
cool.
looking forward to. And we're going to have a gathering in Las Vegas, Nevada. And all of the information that you need about those gatherings as that information is made public can also be found on our website.
Thank you, John. Thank you for all you're doing at Affirmation. I encourage our listeners once again to go to affirmation.org, learn more about this organization. I encourage all of our listeners, the longer I'm in this space, the more I love our church and also love the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just encourage our listeners, like John, often John and I, when we were first talking, he would tell me about his morning scripture study and what he was studying. And I just believe that there's great answers in particularly the Book of Mormon, what Christ teaches, and the four gospels in the New Testament. If you had to start there and you're looking for answers for your life, I think that reading the words of our Heavenly Father and His Savior is a great place to start. And I love your spirituality, John. I love your testimony of our church. I see your wonderful same-sex marriage. I see great good in that marriage. And I'm not advocating that path for anybody on this podcast, but that's the path you've chosen, John, with your wonderful husband. And I see great good in that relationship. And I see you being able to accomplish many things that you want to in your life because you have a wonderful companion. yeah, it's outside the doctrine of our church that I love and support, but also the doctrine of our church says that my circle should extend to wonderful members of the same human family like you and your husband and all of humanity. Sometimes I'll joke that that circle extends up until ISIS. so there are, ISIS is a group that's actually trying to take away my freedoms and bomb me. But you and your wonderful husband, John, are just doing what you feel is best in life and are living your life and bringing value into our community and bringing healing and understanding. And so I want you to be in the circle of my friendship and the circle of someone that's helping me be a better person. So thank you, John, for our personal friendship. Thank you, John, for all you're doing for Affirmation and your example of a disciple of Christ. And thank you all for joining us on another episode of Listen, Learn, and Love, hosted by Richard Osler.